This is 1150 AM KKNW Seattle and KPNW 98.9 FM HD3 Seattle.
Hi, this is Marilyn Milano. If you love animals, then please check out my new show, Love Has Many Faces, Tuesdays from 9 to 9:30 AM right here on Alternative Talk 1150. I'll be talking with rescue groups, animal advocates, and other organizations that help animals, sharing their stories and giving our listeners some tangible ways in which they can help make a difference. That's Love Has Many Faces, Tuesdays at 9 a.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150, raising awareness, touching hearts, and saving animals' lives.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you. good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, fresh off the love train, welcoming you to the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And oh, what a great show to share today. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be MarthaNorwalk.com, N-O-R-W-A-L-K, MarthaNorwalk.com, just like it sounds. Click on the Listen Live link upper right. That'll click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen upper left and then Listen Online, and you'll be all set up to stream the show. And of course, you can find us on Facebook these days. Go to Facebook, search Martha Norwalk's Animal World, check out all the great videos and stories and stuff I post on the site. And man, Nathan, I forgot to tell you, there's a really good post. I just get frustrated sometimes because these posts don't share all the details. And yeah, if you post down, and I think Beth saw this. Look at that one right there. There's no details there, but it's got to be some kind of rescue or sanctuary that cares for dogs in wheelchairs, because there's a gazillion dogs in their little, you know, wheelchair carts, and they're letting them. It says that they're rushing out in the morning.
Yeah, look at this one jumping.
And oh my gosh, it's just phenomenal. There's so many of them, and I saw this, and it was like, oh my gosh, what kudos have to go to the people that take care of these dogs and all of this. And boy, would I love to have.
The Sled Dog Foundation. We know the founder, John Daly, quite well.
Oh, well, now see, this is going to lead me into, you know, you hear a new voice on the air. And what I was going to tell you, and I saw this video and there's no details and all of these dogs, I thought, you know what? I want to talk to our guests today because they seem to know everything there is to know about everything animal everywhere on the planet. And I bet they might know something about this. So without further ado, because it sounds like they do, I want to let you know that we have special guests today. And even though we aren't in the studio together, it's kind of fun now that we can Zoom, because it's like we are together. And so for the first time, I have never actually met our guests in person. But I feel like I know them because of the work that they do and having, you know, read all kinds of stuff about them. And it's like, oh, man, I would really just like to be able to kind of crawl through my computer and just grab your guys' hands and thank you and for all the work that you do. And I just can't wait to get started. So I want you to meet. These are the people, the power behind animals24-7.org. It is, to put it very simply, an independent online newspaper and information source about animals everywhere. But that's just kind of like, and Beth and Merritt Clifton. You guys are married, right? And you are the power behind this information. And, you know, over the years that I've done Animal World, you know, I always try to keep up on what's going on with the animals around the world, and especially when they're disasters and stuff. And so I search and look for information, all of that. But, you know, it's usually really hard to find stuff about the animals. And I didn't know about you guys. And for crying out loud, Beth and Merritt are local, are from our area. So, and I didn't know about you until this year. And I only know of you that thanks to our wonderful Eileen Weintraub and Help Animals India. And, you know, of course, we support them, and she we do a feature interview with her every month, and Help Animals India. Well, she started sending me your stuff because I, you know, do you know what's going on, you know, in Maui and Lahaina and all this? Well, sure enough. And now I realize, now that I've finally connected here, it's just Beth and Merritt, you guys seem to be the source about animals everywhere. And well, I'm blown away with the reporting that you do and how, where you get all the details into this, all the stuff. I don't know. But let's start with the you two. You have very impressive resumes and lots of, you know, credentials with, you know, publishing or, you know, writing and journalism and reporting and all of that. Beth, you have a particularly interesting background, and I was kind of surprised when I brought up your bios online, and there's this wonderful photograph of you with this horse. And
that was Raven.
Raven was your horse, but you were a mounted police officer.
Yes, on Miami Beach.
Miami Beach. Okay, so yes. where the two of you live? You live around our area. You live somewhere in the Pacific Northwest. Do you know?
Whidbey Island.
Okay, you're on Whidbey Island, but obviously that was in Florida. So, where did you guys grow up?
I'm originally from Berkeley. Lived and worked for a long time in Quebec, then in other parts of the U.S. Landed here in 1996. Beth came to join me in 2014.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, from Berkeley. Well, my mom was born in Berkeley, born and raised in Berkeley. So we have a connection. Isn't that cool?
Definitely.
So you've been around this area since 1996. How long? It kind of sounds to me like the two of you probably are like me. I mean, I loved animals from the time I popped out, and I just kind of knew animals were what I was here to do. And I've never done anything that didn't relate to animals in my whole entire life. Have you guys kind of have a special connection with animals throughout your lifetimes as well?
Well, I always wanted to report the news about animals. When I was 7 years old, I made a mock-up newspaper.
At 7?
Yeah, he had just flown in space. Wow. But the lead story was about a cow who had escaped from a truck taking her to slaughter. And then I put Yuri Gagarin below the fold. So that tells you what my news priorities have been.
Wow, since 7 years old.
I wanted to kiss all the animals.
Oh, you wanted to kiss them? Okay.
Yeah, that's all. I just wanted to kiss them all.
All right, so Merritt, you wanted to report about animals from the time you were a teeny kid, 7 years old.
From the
and
time
Beth,
I
you just wanted to kiss everybody.
Ambition.
All right, that makes sense. So when, what was the inspiration, or how did this animals 24/7? How did this all come about?
I had been the news editor for a magazine called Animals Agenda for 4 years. Then I had been the editor and founder of a newspaper called Animal People for 22 years, and came to an impasse with the board, got myself fired from my own newspaper. But one of the things I've been wanting to do is take it online. So founding Animals 24/7 was a natural. I was getting to know Beth right about the same time. And she had these talents as a photographer and an illustrator and a background as a mounted police officer and a vet tech and animal control officer. All these things were very valuable experience to bring on board. So it was just a natural that we would combine our lives, combine our talents, and produce Animals 24/7.
So, you know, we know it's a, you know, it's an on, you know, an independent online newspaper type and so forth. But, you know, you tend to focus on animal issues and especially in situations like, you know, when I was so desperate to find out information about what was going on Maui and Lahaina and the fires, nobody's reporting on it mainstream. But golly, it was like you guys were there. I mean, when I first realized, you know, your site was there and I started chat, was like, are you guys right there? I mean, you know so much. So how long have you been doing Animals 24/7?
Well, Animals 24/7 debuted in April 2014 is when we went online.
Okay.
But I've been reporting about animals, animal issues, the environment, working as a foreign correspondent, all these things for more than 50 years.
Okay.
So between us, we know a lot of people in a lot of places.
So it just generically grew that through all your years of experience and your reporting and all of that, you'd built up all these connections and so forth.
Right. Knowledge. He's traveled to about 40 plus countries.
Wow.
Assisting different countries with setting up spay neuter programs and connecting people. So he's been involved with this for a very, very long time.
When something goes on, like, for example, in Lahaina, who do we know there? Well, it turns out we know a guy 10 miles away, and we know another woman who's about 12 miles away. So,
right. So when something, a disaster happens somewhere with animals, then you just... you have contacts around, and then you
right. Well, for example, in Lahaina, Brian Cordes of Neighborhood Cats is about 10 miles away, and you know, I've known Brian for well over 20 years, so he became a very good contact and introduced us to many others. So we end up being back and forth online with, I don't know, a dozen or more people in that vicinity.
Wow.
Initially, amazing. Initially, Merritt started on the environmental beat, but including that was animals. He would also write about different animal stories that would come up because animals and environment go hand in hand.
Right.
Well, when Merritt started at Animals Agenda, which was an animal rights magazine, he started working as the editor. They needed some
news
editor. They needed some professionalism and somebody that knew what they were doing. So they brought Merritt on. So he was he started when there was this big animal rights boom. And so he was there. I mean, there's always been animal rights throughout history, people mm-hmm. that were involved in that. But the modern people, the people that we know about, Merritt was there from the ground up. And people that love animals and care about animals eventually saw that if they want to know, they go to Merritt. They go wherever he's working, whether it's Animals Agenda or Animal People or whatever. Now it's Animals 24/7, which is our organization. And an Indian friend of ours says, Merritt, you are
a warehouse
of knowledge, because his English wasn't that great. Merritt, the warehouse, and that's pretty much what everybody says. I am in awe of what he retains up there.
Yeah, and you know, I'm just really getting to know the work that you do, and now that I've discovered you, and folks, you all can be part of this as well, because animals24-7.org is a website. So all you have to do is go to the website, and it's animals24, the two numbers, 24-7.org. That gets you to the website, and then you can sign up. You have an email newsletter type thing to sign up
right.
for, because then you send out alerts whenever there's something to report.
Right.
Well, holy mackerel, I've learned more from these two about stuff and animals everywhere probably than ever. And as I was telling Nathan earlier today on the show, just your reports, I mean, I asked Nathan, he hasn't either, from the time that this, attack from Hamas on Israel and, you know, the disaster, the war started, I've not heard one even mention of animals anywhere in mainstream news or any kind of news. I haven't heard anything. And I was kind of, you know, just talking out loud with Nathan earlier, and I was saying, well, you know, I was thinking, well, I wonder why nobody mentions the animals. And of course, you know, when Lahaina, you know, Maui burned down,
mm-hmm.
is anybody saying anything about the animals? No, but you go to Animals 24-7, and it's like you guys are the warehouse of information. and I've learned more about the war and the area and what's going on from reading your detailed reporting than from anywhere else.
There are a tremendous number of animals that are caught up in that conflict, because the no man's land on either side of the Gaza Strip is, because their land is scarce there. They've got to use the no man's land even, and it's used as pasture for livestock, cattle, sheep, even camels on the Gaza side.
Wow.
And then just a little bit back where they're first allowed to have buildings, they have lots of chicken sheds. You can see this on Google Earth. So really, one of the first things that hit me over the head was there are going to be tens of thousands of agricultural animals right on the front lines. And then Gaza has the street dogs. Israel has a tremendous number of cats. Both of them have a lot of wild pigs. So there's a lot of animal issues to try to find information about.
All right. So I'm looking at the clock and we have to keep Nathan happy. So we got to stay on schedule. So we got to take care of our advertisers. And we do that twice in the hour at 20 after and 40 after. And you guys can see how good I do at keeping us on time. So we're going to take care of advertisers. But that leads us, when we continue, let's start. And since it's, you know, the elephant in the room, well, it's not really the elephant because this is Animal World, is the war, Israel, Gaza. I don't know about the rest of the listeners, but I've never been to either place. And I'm not Jewish or Muslim. So I don't understand, I have my friends, so some of that, but I really had no clue what life is like in Israel or Gaza. And I really don't have a clue, you know, what goes on with the animals. But like, getting to know Help Animals India and Eileen, I mean, she shocked me. I mean, the first time I interviewed, she says, there's 33 million street dogs. I knew there were street dogs, but I had no idea there were 33 million, for crying out loud, and that they didn't even know how to spay cats. You know, fair and all of that. So when we continue, let's let you kind of educate us on what is life like with animals in Israel and Gaza before the war, what all started, and then let's just break down and you're going to educate us and teach us what we need to know about what's going on and all of that. And then, of course, you know, we all want to help. But that was another thing I was reading in the warning and then the reporting that Merritt and Beth have done on Animals 24/7 was you got to be careful where you donate because everybody's putting up pages and you can be just feeding a criminal, you know, not the animals. So you can donate through their sources and know it's going to the right place. So I want everybody to stay right where you are. We'll take care of our advertisers because they keep us on the air. And then we'll hear from Merritt and Beth and find out what kind of animals we're talking about. What's life like for animals in Israel and Gaza and what's going on over there? Because nobody else is talking about it, but this is Animal World, so we're talking about it. Stay right where you are if you want to know. Animal World continues right here, more with animals24-7.org, straight ahead, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Get your daily dose of variety. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we're about midway through the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World, but we're here till noon today, and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And let's see, we heard from our wonderful New Pro Supplements, N-U-P, as in Peter, R-O, newprosupplements.com. Great supplements for dogs, cats, and ferrets. The best cat vitamins on the planet. They're called New Pro Nuggets and can be used as treats or get picky eaters to eat. I've used them for that before. The dog supplement is absolutely phenomenal. You can get the New Pro Gold powder, which is the skin and hair coat variety, or the New Pro Silver, which has the joint and immune support in it. And let me tell you, it produces the most fabulous skin and hair coats I've ever seen on dogs. And if you've got a shedding breed and it drives you nuts because you could planet the world with their hair, what I found with New Pro, it doesn't actually stop them from shedding, because if it's a shedding breed, they have to shed. But what it does is it keeps the hair on them. The hair just doesn't fall off all the time, and you brush them and you got a handful of hair or it's all over you. It stays on them until you brush it off. So it really is phenomenal. So check it out. N-U-P as in Peter, R-O, newprosupplements.com. You can learn all about them. You can find the dog supplements at a lot of local pet stores, or you can order on Amazon. And I get the dog stuff up at Bridges in Snohomish, or ordered on Amazon. But anyway, check them out. And then remember, our Whispering Dragon sound healer, Jude Ponton, is open for business in her home now in Shoreline, the Whispering Dragon Center. The healing room is absolutely phenomenal. And to experience the sound of the gongs and the acutonic forks and the incredible soft chiropractic that she does. She solved so many problems for me that I had for years and seeing regular chiropractors until I saw her and the sound healing. And I use the Acutonics forks every day on myself and Robbie Golden. We do our forks. We call it forking. And we do it every morning. I fork me and then I fork Robbie Golden. We get up in the morning. So Jude can work with you in person at the Whispering Dragon Center or remotely. Check her out, whispering-dragon.com. Whispering Dragon Center on Facebook, or just give Jude a call at 206-706-2836. 206-706-2836. All righty then. We are heading back to our guests now. And in the Zoom studio with us, we have Beth and Merritt Clifton, and they are the power behind animals24-7.org, the place to be if you want to know what's going on with animals around the world. There isn't anybody that knows more, I think, than these two. It sounds like, Merritt, though, you're the warehouse of animal information, and Beth, you're the, I want to kiss them all and love them all, but a phenomenal writer, journalist, but artist as well. And I think you're responsible for the cute little collages and little pictures and stuff that are on the website. Just very nice. The big issue right now, of course, is the war with Israel and Hamas involving Israel and the Gaza Strip. And I have to say, I think probably like most, we don't know a lot of details about that area. If you aren't connected some way with someone there or visited or whatever, and I have not, but kind of give us an idea, maybe start with Israel and then we'll move to Gaza. And what you know, I had to learn in India, it's a whole different world of living with animals. They don't live with animals as pets in their home as we do. And there's the street dogs. And what goes on in Israel?
Well, in Israel, it's very much like here. People do have their dogs and cats in their homes.
Okay.
In Gaza, the dogs are in the streets. But it really all begins with birds. There are about 500 million migratory birds that cross over Gaza and Israel every year. For the same reason it's been a strategic location for human beings since the dawn of civilization. Even before that, it was a strategic location for birds.
Wow. Now, I know, Merritt, like right now in the fall, we have birds migrating, geese. So if you go outside around here in our area, you'll hear them or see the flocks of geese going. And it's a tradition. They do it every year. They're, I guess, going south. So yeah. But you're talking a migration that sounds like way bigger than what we see.
Almost all the migratory birds of Africa, Asia, and Central Asia cross over Gaza and Israel.
Wow.
Twice a year. So the birds, for example, are the major restriction on Israeli aircraft flying over Gaza or the West Bank. They have to avoid the migratory birds because they're more deadly than anti-aircraft fire if you get them sucked into the engine of a single engine.
Well, right. We all hear all those stories of the birds getting sucked into engines and planes going down as a result of that.
So that's a major
now is, and now is migratory time?
From now all the way till spring, because first they go south for the winter, and then they go north for the summer. And each way they're crossing over Gaza and Israel, the Red Sea, the Suez Canal, the Mediterranean Ocean. All the birds are native to those areas.
So with that many hundreds of thousands of birds, all of this, that's got to be a major component to what's going on over there. I mean,
it is.
We might be concerned about, you know, the birds getting harmed. But it also, of course, you guys sent out a really great report. And the birds were a very big part of that. And you said that sent that out yesterday. But I hadn't thought about that the birds are better anti-aircraft or, you know, aircraft stuff than sometimes the guns and the weapons are. So how are the birds and all of this affecting everything?
Well, besides, the birds are having to change where they land and feed during the war. They don't like the explosions. They've got to, instead of landing along the Gaza coast, they've got to land somewhere else. They've always been heavily hunted along the Gaza Strip,
but
bombs and anti-aircraft and all that, that's a lot louder, a lot noisier, and a lot scarier to large flocks of birds than a relatively small number of guys with shotguns.
Way worse than 4th of July.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, and now I know you mentioned storks, but what other kind of, what kind of birds are we talking about?
We're even talking, obviously, we're talking about ducks and geese. We're talking about migratory songbirds. We're even talking about flocks of feral parakeets who they've grown up from escaped pets, and they live the summers in Europe, and they go south to North Africa for the winter.
Wow.
So there's actually a small cottage industry in Gaza of trapping feral parakeets and selling them back into the pet trade, mostly through Egypt.
Wow. And I had never even occurred to me about that, but you report on that there actually is you know, a capture and sell of the parakeets. You know, I was one that, you know, had parakeets as a child, you know, because I was like you, Beth. I wanted them all. Just wanted to love them all. And so I lived with all kinds of, even though I was in the city, I had everything you could think of to have in the city. I rescued a bat. My father, one of my cats caught a bat, and I think it was injured, or, you know, was in the backyard on the ground. And of course, so, you know, mom and I were getting ready to go, and my father said, "Yo, don't you even think about it." So we just waited for him to go to bed. And, down we went and collected the bat, and set it up in a little bat bed in a shoebox that it got to sit on my balcony. And I think we did a sugar water and a little syringe. Anyway, the bat survived and made it through the night and flew off the next day. I mean, thank goodness it wasn't a rabid bat or something going on like in that.
Right.
But we went down to Cannon Beach once in Oregon. And there was an injured seagull in the surf that my dog found, but it couldn't fly. And so I went and befriended the seagull, and I carried it home to our motel room and put it in the shower. And then I refused to go home if we couldn't take the seagull. So my mother was all over animal rescues in Cannon Beach trying to find someone that would take the seagull. Nobody would. So home the seagull rode in a box on Martha's lap all the way back to Seattle. And then we had an agreement. There was an agreement with vets in the local neighborhood that they would take care of, wild birds. And so the seagull went to the vet and got treated and then came back and lived on my balcony till it was healthy.
What was his name?
I don't remember. I can't remember if I named it.
That's
sure
another
I did.
Thing. Everything gets a name.
If
yeah, everything got a name.
Who
would
going home with you?
Yeah, you mentioned of bats, Martha, remind me to mention that one of the real heroines of animal rescue during this war,
Nora,
a young woman named Nora Lifshitz, who runs Israeli Bat Rescue. She's kind of an odd duck, but she's been going into the kibbutzes that were raided on October 7 and rescuing the dogs, the cats, the parakeets, whatever was left behind and bringing them out. And often posts pictures. Actually, she has her friends post pictures of some of the things she brings back. But she has emerged from complete obscurity to being sort of an Israeli national hero.
Right. And she's a bat rescuer.
Yeah, she's a bat rescuer.
Isn't that interesting? So she has a bat sanctuary and a need for bat rescue in Israel, just like we have, some here in other parts of the world.
Bats
are pretty amazing creatures.
We have insectivorous bats that eat bugs, and there they're dealing with fruit bats that eat oranges and dates and whatever grows there. And they're really, they tame up a lot better. They're a bit bigger. So they actually can become pets in that part of the world.
Wow. Martha, you had mentioned, be careful where you send your money if you want to help. The bat sanctuary, Israeli Bat Sanctuary, is an excellent place to donate if you so desire.
Ah.
She is a bat rescuer, but she's out there rescuing dogs, cats, whatever, and she's risking her own life in doing that. She's a beautiful woman, young woman, tattooed, pierced everywhere. Colored hair, but she's amazing. Yeah.
All right. So it sounds like maybe even though she's a bat rescuer and does that she's just stepping up for what is needed now and rescuing anything in an animal suit, it sounds like.
There are a number of others. On the Gaza side, we would mention Saeed Al-Ur, who I believe he's originally from Sudan. He's this giant black guy who married into a Palestinian family, and he set up an animal rescue that takes in dogs, cats, sometimes donkeys. He's right smack in the middle of Gaza.
So many dogs.
His whole family are helping him.
Right.
And they're the only incorporated animal rescue in Gaza.
It's called Sulala Rescue.
And I'm assuming we've got links to these places where you can donate on Animals 24/7?
Not from Animals 24/7, no. They have all of them have their own pages and link sites. We don't
I see that the Sulala Animal Rescue is you talk about that in the post that came out yesterday.
Yeah, Sulala, Sulala Animal Rescue.
They've actually been one of the best sources in that area, even though they have very restricted internet access, but they make sure to get some information out every day about what they're doing.
Well, there's a photograph here.
Help, I should mention.
There's a photograph here in that post in the Sulala, of the Sulala Animal Rescue, and it's a photo of Well, it's a black man in the foreground, but then just all kinds of dogs. So it sounds to me like what you described, Meredith, is that Israel, the world in Israel with animals is much more similar to what how we live with animals here. But right. In Gaza, it sounds more like India in that it's street dogs as opposed to
exactly.
pet dogs.
Exactly.
But then you mentioned lots of livestock and so forth.
Yes. Donkeys, camels, sheep, goats. The camels got there because Gaza was a rural area 30, 40 years ago. And Bedouins had settled there more than 200 years ago, and they were sort of hemmed in, and there's no ability to migrate in an area that's actually smaller than Whidbey Island. But there are still Bedouin encampments where there's a vacant lot, and they're still raising, at last count, they had about 800 camels there.
Wow. All right, I'm looking at the clock.
On Whidbey Island.
We're gonna take care of advertisers again for a few moments, and then let's come back and have you talk to us more about the livestock. And you said when we started this conversation, you were saying that the thousands of animals that are on the front line and all of that. So let's find out what's going on with that, and is there any help for them? And are you know? I guess you know the Palestinians were told to move south. Well, did they tell them to do all the animals? So anyway, fill us in on what's going on. So everybody stay right where you are. More with Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org. Straight ahead, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
There is a horizontal world, and there is a vertical world. Living horizontally, our concerns are based in fear and survival. But then we hear a call to live vertically, to connect to our wholeness. Linda Rasmussen, with Vertical Energy, uses a process that helps you balance higher consciousness through your body. When you live vertically, you reap the benefits of health, peace, and clarity. For a free introductory session, call 206-841-1992.
This is Sue Rose Minahan inviting you to tune in to Top Cosmos Weekly Insightful Conversation Sunday, October 22nd at 1 p.m. for Kaleidoscope Visions panel that includes a personal online transit reading focusing on the Taurus lunar eclipse. Completing this eclipse season, making deeply intentional choices, sculpting a life's direction. So come journey with us on Top Cosmos Sunday, October 22nd at 1 p.m. on KKNW.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Ready to shake things up? Try Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are winding down the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here till noon today, and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And we heard from our wonderful best and energy codes practitioner, Linda Rasmussen, and she is available to do private sessions with you in her office. She works out of the Intraspace facility in the old Rainier Brewery, and so you can see her in person, or you can work with her remotely over the phone or by Zoom or something like that. And she continues to offer a free session to anybody we send her. So And it doesn't count if you've called in on the second Sunday of the month for a free session for you or your animal friends. That doesn't count. You can still get a free session from her off the air. And so all you got to do is call or text her at the number I'm going to give you. Tell her you'd like a free session and she will be happy to accommodate you. And the number to call or text is 206-841-1992. 206-841-1992. And of course, you do something wonderful for humans, animals, or the planet we live on. Come join our Animal World family of advertisers. We got great rates. And all you got to do if you're interested is shoot me an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. Animalworldlive@hotmail.com. All righty. We're going to get back to our discussion with Beth and Merritt Clifton from animals24-7.org. They are the source for information about animals anywhere, and especially when there's disasters. They are on top of it, as they are with the war of Israel and Hamas. And let's see, you guys, we were talking about, you know, Gaza and the animals there, but it seems that there are some rescues there. There's this one Sulala Animal Rescue, and that was the dogs. And then you've talked about a bat, rescue and sanctuary. And then there's mention of a chimpanzee, or primate sanctuary.
Primate sanctuary is handling many of the animals that Nora Lipschitz of the bat sanctuary brings back from the ruined kibbutzes. One of the first things that the Hamas raiders did when they raided the kibbutzes, they also shot a lot of dairy cattle. And many of the other dairy cattle were left behind, or some were killed in burned buildings. So some of the dairy farmers elsewhere in Israel have taken upon themselves the cattle rescue, which, of course, takes trucks. You can't just do that with your own sedan, something
right.
like that. But that's been a pretty big operation, too. And many of the cows had been left for days without having been milked. So you're having problems with mastitis and that sort of thing.
Right.
So, and it's actually cut into Israeli milk production, if you're looking at the agricultural side. We're practically vegan, so we don't really favor the animal industries, but you still have to think about the animals that are caught up in that and what
right.
they're suffering, in many cases going days without feed. I've been trying to find more information about what has happened with all the poultry, because there are lots of chickens, ducks, geese, a few other kinds of animals that were kept by the kibbutzes.
So yeah, and when we're talking the kibbutzes, just in case if somebody doesn't know, it's that Hamas invaded Israel. He wasn't expecting or prepared. But when they talk about coming into the kibbutzes, is the kibbutzes in my mind, what I think is, those are like neighborhoods, maybe?
A kibbutz is a communal farm.
Okay, yeah, that's what I want you to explain.
Go back to the 1920s. They were founded by Jewish settlers during the era before Israel became a modern state. And so some of them are actually quite old and have been going for multiple generations of interrelated families. Others are newer. But in the Gaza area, many of them are actually quite old.
They each have names.
Yeah, they all have names. They become sort of like small towns with, in some cases, actually several thousand residents. Most cases, it's only several hundred. And many of them have a variety of different things that they grow and different animals that they raise. Now, on the Gaza side of the border, there are also many, many small family-run farms, but the average size is only half an acre, so it's like a vacant lot. But they will have, as well as vegetable crops, they will have sheds that have chickens in them, maybe a goat or two.
All right.
And most of the work will be done not by tractors, but by donkeys. There's been a big fuel shortage there, so donkeys are really at a premium for everything that we would do with a car or a truck or a tractor.
I'm just guessing here, but I believe that Hamas would probably steal some of, a lot of the poultry and maybe some of the farm animals so that they can eat them.
That's an issue too. The Gazans have been bringing their livestock south, the sheep and the goats and the camels, but many of them are being requisitioned for food. You know, they eat meat, and this is, you know,
Hamas.
These are animals that are eaten. So there's a lot of that going on. Street corner butchery.
So they actually eat camel in that part of the world?
Yeah, camels historically have been eaten in the Middle East.
Wow.
It's an expensive meat because a camel's a big animal that takes a time to raise. So they're normally eaten only for like ceremonial purposes, equivalent of our Christmas or Thanksgiving. Like their Ramadan sacrifice, a rich man might sacrifice a camel. But in time of the war, anything goes. And if the food blockade keeps up, we'll probably see dogs being eaten too.
But scavengers are a big no-no for the Jews.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the things that protects the storks. The storks are not considered kosher, so they've never been.
Oh, so the Jewish don't hunt them, but
no pigs, no eagle, no birds of prey. They won't eat those because they're scavengers.
That's actually how the wild boar problem became as big as it is. Neither Jews nor Muslims eat pork. So there was never any incentive to hunt or trap them until they became numerous enough to become a problem.
Well, and pigs are very smart and can be extremely aggressive.
Here in the United States, hunters hunt them. But the Palestinian side, from what I understand, are not allowed to have firearms. So they can't hunt them, you know, in that respect, and they wouldn't eat them anyway.
They're also, pigs are very good at making use of war zones, tunnels, shell holes, all those kinds of things, and they're naturally nocturnal. So they find places to hide where there's a shell crater or a tunnel or whatever by day. Then they come out at night, and here in the United States, the hunters go out at night with helicopters and spotlights
and
to try to hunt them and dogs. But they don't have those kinds of resources there, and they have not really introduced contraceptive birth control for the pigs on a large scale either.
So it's becoming a problem and could be more of a problem now because of their ability to survive better than some of the other animals.
They also did very well during the COVID years when people were inside and not doing things to deter pigs so much.
And sometimes feeding them.
So they spread. So both sides of the Gaza border are very worried about their wild boars.
All right. So it sounds like that in Gaza, life with animals is different in that it sounds like, you know, the dogs are street dogs sort of thing. And then the families are more very small farms with livestock type situations. But then you mentioned, Merritt, when we started, you talked about, you know, thousands of animals being on or livestock on the front lines.
On
both sides. So what's going on with all of that when, you know, the Israelis were saying, okay, you guys all got to move south because we're coming in to go after Hamas. Does that include the animals are moving south?
It does include the animals. The animals are being herded south, but it's on both sides of the border. Israel evacuated the kibbutzes within a shelling range of Gaza. Those people had to pack up and move too, and they didn't have the ability to remove their larger animals, and for that matter, probably not chickens in the volume they were there. So you have a situation where you have a lot of farm animals neglected in a no man's land, which is something we've seen in other wars, but it's particularly intense, I think, in this war because of how small the areas are and how hemmed in they are by urban areas. We're talking about a situation where the northern end of Gaza is only 35 miles from Tel Aviv, which is the capital city. And the whole of Gaza is 30 square miles smaller than Whidbey Island. And within there, they have 2.1 million people, as well as the 800 camels, the thousands of dogs, the thousands of donkeys, et cetera.
So, wow.
So very much an issue.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, do you know, I mean, I'm curious why no one other than you guys are reporting on the animal situation and all that. I mean, do you have a sense for why nobody reports on the animal stuff?
Well, they're busy reporting on the war.
So that's what I was saying. So the war and the humanitarian stuff is just takes greater priority.
Yeah.
So,
a lot of times we give different new, I'm not bragging, but it's just a fact. They get ideas from us and also information, and then they'll come out with a story.
There's also a cycle in disasters where when things slow down 2 or 3 days into it, some cases weeks, then the mainstream media, they've got reporters there. They have nothing to do till something further happens. So then they start picking up on the animal stories, but we've already been doing it. So,
right. Yeah. So that's why I want everyone to know about y'all, because if everyone stays connected with you, like I am now, you send out the reports. So you do all the homework for us. You just keep us informed and educated and let us know what's going on where and how, at least where we can send our prayers and then help if we can.
We try, but every now and then there's something like there were 2 6.3 magnitude earthquakes in Afghanistan recently. And we don't have any contacts in Afghanistan, so we haven't done a report about it. But I've been watching, see if I can find some info, because I know there's lots of animals in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
They have contacts there, but after the U.S. withdrew, we don't.
This is sort of unrelated, but I remember one incident where there was, what's the small dolphin, the name of it again?
The vaquita.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't the vaquita, but...
Oh, the platys dolphin in Argentina you're talking about.
Yes. Was already dead, washed up. But the news agencies got it where the people were passing this little dolphin around, taking selfies with it.
But the dolphin was already dead and nobody realized
it. I watched the video several times and it was in Spanish, which... I'm a little rusty, but my Spanish was very good. I'm from Miami. It's okay, Teddy. And it turns out they all got it wrong. We were like the only ones that got it right. The dolphin was dead. They were all concerned about it. The children, were touching it because they were upset about the dolphin. And so they weren't passing it around to take selfies. They were concerned about it. Every big news agency
got it wrong. Yeah, amazing. So that's why we need you guys. All righty, we are up against the top of the hour, and so that means we got to close out hour number two, and we got to fire up the love train, and we got to send lots of love and light to the animals in Israel and Gaza and all of that. So let's focus on sending that love and light on the love train over there. And if you want to check out Beth and Merritt Clifton and the website, you can do that at animals24-7.org. And then when we fire up hour number three, we will continue our discussion. We'll finish up with the Israel, Gaza, and all the animals and how we can help, that sort of thing. Then I want to find out more what we need to know about what's going on in Lahaina and Maui. I mean, because the city doesn't get magically rebuilt in a week and everything's normal. So I'm sure you guys have information about that. And then there's all kinds of other stuff, like who knew about the dolphin? We'll find out what's going on around the world with animals. And I just think we've added new members to the Animal World family that are going to be with us because they are the source for the best information. So everybody, stay right where you are. We're firing up the love train. And remember, dancing is required. Okay. But you can dance in your bed. You can dance in your head. You can dance in your chair, or you can dance anywhere. Get up on the love train and dance with us. We'll cruise through and pick you up, and we'll send love and light all over, especially the Middle East. And then we will continue more with Animals 24-7. So I always energize up the love train music to give us more energy for the day and the week. And here we go with that. Oh, infinite spirit, recharge our bodies with thy conscious cosmic energy, our minds with thy concentration and determination, our souls and all souls with thy ever new joy. Oh, eternal youth, the body and mind, abide in us forever and forever via the love train, and it's coming right up. Stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here in Alternative Talk, AM 1150.